May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from the gospel reading, especially these words. Jesus said, "And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, as you know, our family lived for a while in Central Asia, where the dominant religion is Islam. One of many things that Muslims are expected to do is pray 5 times a day. The Muslim prayer rooms and the mosques will broadcast this audible signal reminding people that it's time to pray, the so-called call to prayer. Now, where we lived, Muslims weren't very devout. We didn't hear that call to prayer very often, but in some of the rural regions, you would hear it frequently. And yet, the requirement to pray was still imposed on all good Muslims. You must pray consistently. Our text for today from Luke 18 is about prayer, about praying frequently, or praying without ceasing, as Paul puts it in 1 Thessalonians. It would seem that Muslims have this down pat, right? After all, they pray 5 times a day. What could be more persistent than that? They pray in the hopes of becoming closer to God, to receiving some blessing, to receive mercy from Allah. But as we look at our text this morning, we'll see that our motivations and the reasons that we are able to pray as Christians are very different. We have a different starting point for prayer than the Muslim or really anyone else. Consider the parable of the widow and the judge. Now, widows had a very low standing in ancient societies, even Jewish ones. They had little social position, may have had no financial means, especially if they were without children. Often they were treated poorly by others. Frequently in the Old Testament, the prophets had to remind the people of Israel not to mistreat widows, but to take care of them. Now, the widow in our parable was wronged in some way, maybe falsely accused of some crime, maybe defrauded by someone else, and she seeks justice for herself. But no one will listen to her pleas. So she goes to this judge and continually, without ceasing, pleads her case to him. She doesn't let up. Day and night, she's pestering him, bothering him. Perhaps he can't even get any sleep. He certainly can't get any more work done. And eventually, the judge gives in for no other reason than to make this woman be quiet. She's pestering him constantly. So even though he couldn't care less about her, or apparently the law for that matter, he gives in. He gives in because of her persistence. Now, parables are intended to reveal something to us about the kingdom of God. So one question we might ask is, how is the judge in the parable like God? Actually, in many ways, he's the very opposite of the God that we know. This judge is unjust, but our God is just. This judge doesn't care about the widow, but God loves us. The judge is only looking out for himself, but everything God does, he does for you. But despite the judge's wickedness, the widow gets her way. Her persistence pays off. The judge relents. She gets her justice. Perhaps she is declared not guilty. The point of the parable is that if even a rotten judge will still relent and give justice to this person, how much more then will our good God, the God who loves us, how much more will he listen to our prayers, the prayers of his beloved children? even a wicked judge will give justice. Certainly a good and loving God will do even more. But what does that mean, to give justice? What kind of justice should we be asking for from God anyway? The widow in the parable isn't asking the judge for material blessings. She cries out day and night for justice. The widow in the parable had a case. She was apparently treated unjustly by her accuser, or maybe even by some other official. But what about us? If the truth be told, we are accused rightly. We are guilty of many things. According to God's law, we are not those who have been treated unjustly, but we are those who are unjust and worthy of vindication for God from God on account of our sin. What right do we have to call out to a holy God? If he were really giving out appropriate justice, he should punish us. Those following Islam pray to Allah for mercy, but why should he be merciful? They have no basis upon which God might be merciful, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See, that's the problem with those who pray to God without Christ. They appeal to God with the wish that he will be merciful to them for some arbitrary reason. Maybe they think that by simply performing the prayer, God will relent over his anger. They hope that by their many prayers, they will be drawn closer to God. They want God to hear them. They want God to grant their wishes, so they pray often, maybe desiring some material or earthly blessing. They strictly follow the rules of their religion, the logic being, well, if I'm good enough, God will hear my prayer. Maybe sometimes our prayers can become like that. But such prayers are empty when there is no relationship with the true God, because there is no relationship with Christ. They pray for forgiveness and mercy, but have no assurance that God is merciful. In explaining the parable, Jesus says, "Will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily." When Jesus spoke this parable, he was on his way somewhere. He was on his way to Jerusalem. Soon, speedily, he was going to die on the cross. He was going there to suffer the greatest injustice that has ever been meted out. He was to be executed, even though he was sinless. He had done nothing wrong, nothing deserving of death, nothing even deserving of the flogging that he received. But it is in this way that God gives you justice. He punishes Jesus for our sin instead of us. That's the justice about which Jesus speaks. Jesus took the punishment, and his innocence was proven 3 days later when he was raised from the dead. He rose from the dead, signifying that he was, in fact, who he said he was, God himself, and that that sacrifice covered your sin. The perfect Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. No, God will not delay long over us. He will be patient with us as we live lives of repentance and faith in him. He has already declared you not guilty because of Jesus. We are justified because of him. God's justice is to give Christ's righteousness to you, you who put your faith in him. And so we are God's elect. We are his chosen people. And as those people, we have the privilege, not simply the command, but the blessing of coming to God in prayer. The power of prayer is not in you, but it's in God, who hears your prayer. We appeal to God on the basis of his justice which declares us justified. We come to God praying, forgive us our trespasses, knowing that in Jesus, they're already forgiven. We pray, thy will be done, knowing the promise of God that for those who love God, all things work together for good. We pray, give us this day our daily bread, mindful that God does give us all we need to support this body and life. We pray, thy kingdom come, knowing that Christ is coming again, this time in glory, and will show the world that we are his people, his elect, to bring us to everlasting life with him. Jesus asks, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That is another thing for which we pray, that he would keep us in the faith, that he would defend the church from false teachers and from those who would seek to destroy us. Our prayer is that the Lord will find faith, faith in us, faith in his church when he comes, that we wouldn't be like those who St. Paul describes in our epistle reading, who will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Instead, we pray that we would continue in what we have learned and firmly believed. The Holy Spirit guides us in our prayers, in the Lord's Prayer, for example, but also in other parts of Scripture. In Luke 10, Jesus says, therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And so we pray for faithful pastors and teachers and musicians and missionaries, so that his people would be strengthened in faith and others would be brought to that faith. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, bless those who curse you and pray for those who abuse you. As the church works, we will face persecution and abuse. Many Christians throughout the world face violence on account of their confession of Jesus. Even here in this country, we know that things are not the same as they once were with regard to Christianity. Yet even those who persecute us, those who persecute you, we are to pray for their good. And we pray that in the end, evil would not get its way, that our faith in Jesus would be vindicated, as we know it will be. So as God's elect, we don't pray with an empty hope. We don't pray that we'll be heard by some abstract God out there somewhere that we can't really know, wondering if he will forgive us, hoping that by our actions, God will be good to us. No, we pray knowing that God does hear us. We pray with the certainty that we are forgiven on Christ's account, knowing that because of him, we have received God's justice. We are justified because of Jesus. Jesus took our punishment and declares us just. And so we pray confidently, knowing that God is our loving Father, and we are his beloved children. We are free to bring before him our thanks and praise, our needs and our concerns in prayer. Free to pray that those who do not know him will, and free to pray that we will remain in the faith until our life's end. May we be like that persistent widow, constant in prayer. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.